Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
We end today in the classroom, where despite having more than a dozen active Indigenous tribes in the Northeast, including three in the Commonwealth that are either recognized federally or by the state, there's minimal standards on what education on those communities should look like beyond the first Thanksgiving.
And I think students don't realize the connection that we all have to Native culture and language. We say Massachusetts so many times, day in and day out, living in the state. And how often do we think about that term being an Indigenous word and the fact that Brookline High School is on Massachusetts land?
That's Elizabeth Lizzie Buell, who's a history teacher at Brookline High School. And today we're taking a look at what's being taught now and what could and should be taught in the future as people begin to organize to address what's missing. With us now on the line is Matui Monroe of the United American Indians of New England and the Massachusetts Indigenous Legislative Agenda. Matui, welcome.
Good morning. My name is Matui, by
Matui. I'm so sorry to mispronounce it, Matui. Thank you for that. And we have joining Matui and me two educators. The first is Carrie Dunn, who is a History and Social Studies Department head at Lexington High School, and Taylor Collins, who is a History and Social Studies teacher at Framingham High School. Carrie, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Taylor, welcome to you here in Studio 2.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So what we have with the three of you is two people with teaching experience, one who's working on advocacy awareness change. And I want to ask all three of you, when we say Indigenous education, what do we mean? And Matui, I will start with you.
Sure, I would love to talk to you about that. Right now, we have a bill that's presented at the Massachusetts State House, which calls for celebrating and teaching Native American cultures and history. And that is a call for a curriculum that would be statewide in all the public K through 12 schools here. When we're talking about teaching Native history and cultures, we're really talking about not only teaching history, but having Indigenous content embedded throughout the content. That is, there, in addition to teaching some Indigenous history, it would be important to talk about contemporary Indigenous issues, making sure that the students all understand that Indigenous people continue to live here in Massachusetts and continue to be alive. I say that because a poll a couple of years ago said that non-Native people, about 40% of non-Native people, think that Native Americans are extinct. So it's important for students to understand that we're still here, and for curriculum to be embedded throughout their learning experience K through 12, so that there would be books written by Native authors, there would be Native art presented, there would be Native music presented. So instead of it being an idea that, okay, well, now it's fourth grade and we're going to stop and do a unit on the Wampanoag, it would be really important to be talking about the various Indigenous nations and Indigenous peoples here in Massachusetts throughout the school year, and also bringing attention to other Native people from outside the state as well, and contemporary issues.
So Matui, when we spoke with Mashpee Wampanoag historian Paula Peters during our conversation on Indigenous Peoples Day, she told a story from her own childhood that underscored one of the things that you said. And I want to hear that here.
When another child asked what happened to those Indians, the teacher just said, oh, well, they've all died. We've come a really long way from then. I had to raise my hand and say, hey, wait a second, that's not true.
So I'll turn to you, Taylor Collins, from Framingham High School here in Studio 2. Matui gave us a very rich picture of what it means to do Indigenous education. We heard that underscoring of the absence of real awareness and presence in the classroom from Paula Peters there. As you think about teaching history, but also bringing Indigenous perspectives and an Indigenous dimension to all that we are teaching. What's important to you in the classroom, and why is it important to do it?
I think it's super important, like you were saying, to bring it throughout the year. I remember having a student asking, like, are Indigenous people still alive? And I thought I did my job perfectly and worked hard on that. And then I realized I had to look back on my own biases and where and unpack how I was taught about this and to see what lens I'm teaching this through. And so one of the things that I really want kids to take is looking at primary sources and becoming historians themselves and analyzing and learning the truths or understanding like how to argue what's going on and connecting it to modern day issues like they were saying and seeing like how to make them better citizens by understanding what's going on in the world and how our history has affected what we're going through today.
So we're talking here on Radio Boston about teaching Indigenous and Native American history in the Massachusetts classrooms and the fact that we don't have a strong regular standard for that or a robust standard for that. We just heard from Taylor Collins at Framingham High School. I'm going to turn now to Carrie Dunn, who's at Lexington High School, and I'm going to pick up on something that Taylor just said, Carrie. This is Elena Shorey, who's a history teacher, one of Taylor's colleagues at Framingham High School. Here she is.
We were fed a very colonized, white, you know, Eurocentric, male elite narrative of the United States, even in college courses. And so a lot of work needs to be done personally first, especially I'm a white woman. Like, that work needs to be done internally for myself. To me, I think that's one of the biggest challenges that districts face is giving educators the time and space to do that, and then also pushing educators to do that as well. It's not a choice. We need to do this for our students. We need to do this for their survival.
And for you, Carrie, is that the big challenge? Are there other challenges as a teacher who wants to, and my understanding from your conversations with our team before the show, you want to be teaching more than you are. What are the challenges that you're facing?
So I, of course, want to be teaching more. I think every good history social studies teacher out there in Massachusetts right now should be mindful of teaching an Indigenous perspective throughout the scope of American history. I think we absolutely could be doing more with contemporary issues related to Native American peoples in our country and in our state, right? A challenge, but I think it's a good challenge and it's kind of an exciting challenge, is to really get away from conventional textbooks as the content that we're using as classroom resources when we're teaching about Indigenous history or contemporary issues. There are many good alternative resources out there. I've seen a lot of high school teachers here at Lexington High School use excerpts from Roseanne Dunbar Ortiz's An Indigenous People's History of the United States. It's an excellent book. The Smithsonian National Museum of American History has a free online website now for educators called Native Knowledge 360. Really high interest, great visuals, good quality resources. We don't need to be using kind of stale old textbooks that might present a problematic narrative any longer. So we need time to investigate and find the best stuff out there.
So I'll turn back to Matawi Monroe. Am I doing that well now?
Sure you are.
Excellent. From the United American Indians of New England, I'm going to play you a little sound from a teacher in the Lowell Public Schools. His name is Robert DeLosa, and how they're thinking about their lessons going forward.
One of the questions in the program we're piloting is, how has the country developed and who has borne the costs? This is not to denigrate the country, to somehow slam us. But we need to know that it is complex and that there have been people who have especially heavily borne the costs of creating this hugely powerful, wealthy country that we have, where we still are working to live up to the founding ideals of this government and this nation.
What strikes me is not only his acknowledging that there is serious anxiety and pushback about the truth-telling that we're seeking to do about the complexity of our history, but also the need for it. And I want to ask you, what do we lose collectively as a Massachusetts community when we don't include Indigenous history, Indigenous cultures, Indigenous experiences fully and appropriately in what we teach our kids as they're growing up?
Well, I would start out by saying that it's obviously harmful to Indigenous students in any school system
to be in a school system where they have teachers having them dress up as pilgrims and Indians for a Thanksgiving that is not examined historically, or to have them singing about how Columbus discovered America for you and me, as my children experienced when they were kindergartners in a public school here in Massachusetts, for instance. But it's very clear from what we've heard from many, many parents and students and teachers that there's a real hunger to learn more about Native Americans. There's a real desire to learn more about the history, and it's not accessible to people. I understand that there's excellent books around with a national narrative, such as Dunbar Ortiz's book and several others, but we don't have the materials at hand for teachers to be able to use here in Massachusetts. It's important for all of our children to understand whose land they're on. If you're in a school in central Massachusetts, you should understand that you're on Nipmuc land. If you're in a school on the Cape, you should understand that you're on Mashpee Wampanoag land. There are, you know, tribal nations all around the state. There are more than three. And children should have this understanding of whose land they're living on and what the history of colonialism and displacement is in that area as well. I think that a lot of teachers really want to teach this content, but they don't feel confident about it. And there's good reasons for it. They haven't grown up learning it either. And that's why we want to provide some kind of standardized Massachusetts-based curriculum that will be ready for teachers. They can feel confident about it. They can get extra trainings in it. And they will also understand how to indigenize their classroom more so that they can use Native culture and other content throughout the year. You know, teachers don't want to make mistakes, and sometimes even well-intended teachers can make mistakes and do things like, I don't know, for younger kids, we've seen teachers have the kids make up their own Native American names, which is actually offensive. We've had teachers who do things like say, well, if you had been Native American, how would you have felt about the Indian Removal Act? And that's not appropriate because it's asking students, instead of just looking at history and what actual Indigenous people said about it, for them to imagine that they're Indigenous and have experienced a horror that they actually cannot imagine. Teachers do sometimes make mistakes. We want to help them with that and give them the curriculum that they need.
I want to bring in Taylor Collins here, who's from Framingham High School, who's here in Studio 2, because you were nodding so much. So, no, that's good. So just pick up, because you're underscoring what we just heard.
Yeah, there's a couple things I wanted to pick up on. Right before I left class today, I asked my kids, I told them what I was doing, and they were all really excited. And I was like, why do you think we need to learn this? And a lot of kids were like, how are we going to know who we are as a nation, as a state, as people, if we don't understand the real history? And some of my kids were actually really angry because some of the history they learned when they were younger was trivialized.
How old are they?
My kids are 10th grade.
Okay, keep going.
So, hi, kids. Okay. And so they were really upset of how, like, not learning the truths behind it. And one of the really, like you were saying, the challenges, too, though, for teachers is, yes, they can mess up. And this is a great bill, too. But having a legislature, you know, having, like, a whole curriculum for them is something that needs to back it up, because just reading a book doesn't make you an expert. We have to really unpack a lot of our biases and a lot of the ways that we've been taught, and realize some of these things that we've done in the past have actually been really problematic.
Yeah.
And so it's an ongoing, kind of like what Elena was saying, it's an ongoing process. It's a very humbling process and really opens your eyes. And our kids are wanting this history. I'm on Nipmuc land where I teach, and Natick is right next door. That's a praying town. The kids never knew that it was a praying town.
What does that mean?
So a praying town was used by the Puritans to convert the indigenous people of that area into Christianity, but they had to lose all of, like, their customs. They had to cut their hair. They had to speak English. And during the King Philip's War, which a lot of time is trivialized too, and just said this is the last time they ever resisted, which is also not true. the people that were converted that were supposed to be protected were actually sent out onto an island in the Boston Harbor, Deer Island, and were left for dead. And they were sent out during the wintertime. So one of our lessons we do is learning about that. And also, like, what can we do as citizens who think that this history needs to be known? Because there really isn't much memorial. Most people don't even know about praying towns.
Yep.
Yeah. And also, like, Natick, you know, changed their mascot. So we also have that kind of current event going on. What are the mascots and what are the issues with that? So the students really want to understand it and then becoming more informed citizens. And that's what we want.
So I'm going to turn now to Carrie Dunn, who's on the line from Lexington High School, History and Social Studies Department head there. And as we start to wrap, we've got a couple of minutes left here, Carrie. I'm going to play a little sound from Anawan Whedon, who's a Mashpee Wampanoag educator, founder and owner of First Light Foundation. And he goes into schools and helps them teach Indigenous topics. And he talks a little bit about the challenge of doing that.
When I only visit a child and literally expose them to a culture that the kids are living in. They're living in our environment. They're living in our climate. They're eating our foods. We are not Europeans anymore, but we're still living a European way here in this country. And when most people in New England live their whole life, I'm talking adult, I'm talking senior citizens who have lived here their entire life, never met a native. And I have to, like, fix all that in 1 hour at second grade. I mean, it's really just a disservice to us.
So what do we need most in this moment, Carrie? What do you need most as a department head?
Oh, that's a great question. And I've been nodding hearing all of these excerpts. I do think attention and priority on this issue from our state DESE would be helpful, right? That this is an expectation. There are places in our Massachusetts standards that emphasize Native American history, both locally and nationally. And that, you know, more than kind of an optional encouragement to teach this, but it's an expectation to teach this needs to be communicated. Provisioning of resources, right? Opportunities to bring in guest speakers, take students out, right? Unfortunately, that's disproportionately available to schools and communities that have a lot of resources, but it benefits all students. So I would like to see this become a state issue and really embraced by our educational authority and pushed hard.
So there is so much more we could talk about here, but we are the realities of the time on this show. So at this point, I'm going to say thank you to our guests, Matawi Monroe of the United American Indians of New England, Taylor Collins, who's with the History Department at Framingham High School, and Carrie Dunn, who's the History and Social Studies Department head at Lexington High School. Thanks to all three of you for engaging. We will watch the progress of this bill. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want to give you a heads up that this evening, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu will be giving her first State of the City address. All Things Considered begins here on WBUR at 4 p.m., and you can stay with All Things Considered for that coverage going into the evening.